You know, it's through fellowship that we often get stirred of heart to bring messages where people are asking questions. And this week I had a question come that I want to deal with somewhat this morning. And it was 2 weeks ago that some email came through talking about dying to self. And so I thought it would be appropriate for us to reflect upon dying to self and the benefits of dying to self and bearing fruit and honoring the Father by bearing much fruit. And the fact that the dying to self helps us live a lot better quality of life. If you are always being offended or touched by everything and stimulated by everything, how miserable can your life be, you know? You could go nuts. But this morning I want to reflect upon the just shall shine. Excuse me, can't get it out. The just shall shine. It's a tongue twister almost. I want to read from Romans chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, where it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means while accusing or else excusing one another." Of course, this law here is the moral law and not the ceremonial law. Obviously, in a man's heart is not thinking about sacrifices and washings and so forth. This has to do with living a moral life. And there are those before the law came who live moral lives, decent lives, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They lived before the law. And yet they lived lives pleasing to God. And we are to do the same thing. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it says, it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God. Just knowing about the moral law doesn't make you right, because you have to obey the law. We have to be obedient. In other words, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't covet, so forth and so on. And it's not those that hear the law that are just before God. It's the doers of the law shall be justified. And while I was musing upon what I was asked this week, I ran across this verse. It's the doers of the law that shall be justified. We think about justification. We associate justification by faith. But here is justification by keeping the law or doing the law. And the word justification has to do with being chargeable. If you're behaving yourself and you're obeying the law, you are not chargeable as far as the law is concerned. But let's say that you are being obedient to the law, and then you begin to live by faith, because it says the just shall live by faith. In other words, you cannot live in disobedience and please God too. So you have to be just. You have to live a holy life, a separated life, to live by faith. And if we are just and we live by faith, then we please God and we will be justified. We will not be chargeable. Well, I've always associated chargeableness or being chargeable with the moral law. But when we think of, I'm going to just have you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, which is of course not in our notes, but in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 38, "Now if the just shall live by faith," excuse me, "now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." When we say draw back, this is drawing back not from being just, but being of living by faith. And so If you draw back from living by faith, then you are chargeable. Of what? Of not pleasing God, not living by faith. But he goes on and says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or to ruin, but of them which believe, or actually, which are of faith, to the saving of the soul. So the point I'm saying is this, we can be justified as far as the moral law is concerned. In other words, we're behaving ourselves, we're being obedient, and so therefore that we are not chargeable when it comes to stealing and drunkenness and the sins of the flesh and etc., etc. And so therefore, what will they have? What will those who are just enjoy? And that was the question he asked me. He says, those who are just and live by faith will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, what about those who are just, but they don't live by faith? And you can do that. You can be just and not live by faith. In Matthew chapter 13, at verse 9, it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to build some background material here for us to understand that there is a distinction between those who have ears to hear and those who don't have ears to hear. Now, you don't have to have ears to hear to be saved. You just need to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and when you believe that He died for you, you're born into the family of God. So you don't have to have ears to hear that. Okay? But the Lord over and over again in the parable said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Revelation chapter 2, it talks about he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's those who have ears, they need to hear. In Deuteronomy 29:4, it says, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. I included this verse to show you that it is the Lord that gives you those ears to hear and eyes to see. You don't get them yourself. That comes from the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Salvation is first. You have to be in the family. If you're not in the family, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And this doesn't have anything to do with dying to self. But the point is this. If you're dead in your sins, you need to be saved. And then after you're saved and the Lord has given you ears to hear, there is a calling. It's a holy calling. Not according to our works. In other words, He doesn't give us ears to hear and eyes to see because we did some great things or that we're really holy or we're really dedicated. This is something that God has done on His own and He has chosen on His own to do. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This all took place in the ages past. And then in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen or called out. The implication here is this. This is having to do with the called. And obviously, not only the many are called, but the chosen are also called. They are the ones who have ears to hear. Now, I put in our notes, most are not called. Most of God's children are not called. Many are called. Not to get saved, but we're called unto His kingdom and glory. In other words, He is calling out some people to rule and reign with Him. We're seeing this on TV today. Not everybody is going to be in the new president or the president's cabinet when he's installed next year. There are going to be many. And He'll call the ones that He wants. Okay? And the calling is unto His kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Remember when Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration? Who did He call to go with Him? He called Peter, James, and John. Not all of the apostles went. So I just want you to see that it's not wrong for Jesus to choose people that He wants close to Him and to be with Him, particularly when His glory is revealed. So we're called unto His kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, the ears that hear the word of the kingdom. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest Thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In other words, they haven't been called. Now, it's not a sin to not respond to the calling. If God hadn't given you ears to hear, God's not going to hold you accountable for responding to this call and to His kingdom and glory. But if you've been given ears to hear, and I associate people that come here have been given ears to hear and eyes to see. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. That's probably one of the reasons why we have such a small crowd. Because it's only many are called and few are chosen. So we're working with the many and not the most. Okay? And it's the little flock that does what? Enter the kingdom. It's not the big flock. It's the little flock. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So when I see a little flock in our midst, hey, we're on the right path. I'm anticipating entering the kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ. It has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And it has to do with ruling and reigning. Now, what about those who don't have ears to hear? That's what I'm trying to get to. This is what the question was. What about those that haven't been called? What do they get? What do they anticipate? What is their anticipation? Well, we have gone over this some in the past, but I'm just going to refresh our thoughts on this again today. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous or just before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, I included this in here to show you that here is a couple serving in the temple, or Zacharias is serving in the temple, and both of them are just. Now, why are they just? I think this is a definition here. They were just because they were obedient and they were walking in the commandments. And they were blameless. In other words, they weren't chargeable. They were justified as far as being just is concerned. If you're unblameable, you are justified. And they weren't justified by faith. They were justified in the law. And not only the moral law, but they were justified in the Mosaic law. Zechariah and Elizabeth obeyed the Mosaic law. If Zechariah didn't do that, what would have happened to Zechariah when he turned around to go into the temple? He'd have died. You've got to obey. In other words, you've got to wash your hands in the brazen laver and so forth. So he was justified as far as being obedient to the commandments. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, obedience has a certain amount of wisdom. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is talking about John the Baptizer. His message was to turn the hearts of the father to the children and to turn the disobedience, or to get the disobedience, to see the wisdom of being just. There is wisdom in being just, being obedient. If you're not obedient, you're not very wise, because you're not going to get away with it. Okay? And now, a just person doesn't need to repent. I put this in here, Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Did you know a just person is not a sinner? I'm not saying that a just person didn't sin or hadn't sinned. I'm saying a just person has repented and he is living in obedience. That's what a just person is. He's not a sinner and he doesn't need to repent. That's just like driving down the street, like I've talked to you before. If I'm driving the speed limit or less, do I need to repent? No, I don't need to repent. Now, if I'm driving 35 down this street out here, do I need to repent? Well, I do if I see the policeman. No. If I'm breaking the law, I need to repent. Okay? Let's go on. I'm going to just point out people that are just in the Old Testament. Joseph, that is the surrogate father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph. This is Mary's husband, being a just man. Joseph was a just man. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, this is Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here's a man who was obedient to probably not only the moral law, but to the ordinances as well. He was a just man. He was in the temple. In Acts chapter 10, verse 22, Cornelius was a just man. And Cornelius is a Gentile, a saved Gentile. He was a proselyte unto the nation of Israel. He became a Jew. And it says, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of a good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned of God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. I just think about here's a Gentile. He was a just man, and you know what? Fearing God doesn't hurt. If you don't fear God, you know what? You live like you want to. When a man says there's no God, says that in his heart, how does he live? Any way he pleases. It takes the fear of God to get all of us to behave. I know it was that way in my house. If I didn't do right, I got the switch. You know? And I'm sure that you've experienced that too. If you didn't do right, you had to pay the consequences. And the same thing here. In Philippians chapter 3, it says that Paul was just. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, what? Unchargeable. Blameless. Paul was just. He was obedient to the moral law, and he was obedient to the Mosaic law. And he was doing that before the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. Okay? Now, the key here, it says, is touching the law of Pharisee. Now, I want you to keep the word Pharisee in mind as I read Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the, what? Pharisees. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? They had the righteousness of the law and they were blameless. The scribes and the Pharisees were saved and they were just, and that was all. So you can be just and not live by faith. And so what does it take for us to enter the kingdom? Well, our righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? They were obedient to the law, the moral law, as well as the ordinance as well, because of the time in which they lived. Now, how does their righteousness, how could their righteousness exceed that righteousness? Well, it's the righteousness of faith. And what does the righteousness of faith deal with? It means that we're pleasing God. Faith provides us with hope. What is the hope of a Christian? Not salvation. The hope of a Christian is to rule and reign in the coming kingdom. Because that can be forfeited. All you have to do is quit pleasing God and start living in sin, and you're in trouble. Not only now, but in the age to come. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because of the way you lived and the things that we did, and we all can do that. I can do that. None of us are immune. When you think of David, a man after God's own heart, did what he did. There's nothing that we can't do. Did you know that? He was a liar. He was a murderer. And he was an adulterer. Those are pretty heavy sins. And I'm sure thankful I don't have those on my list. But anyway, somebody else is happy too. Anyway, now, Philippians 3:9 continues Paul's thoughts on this righteousness. And Paul says, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There is a righteousness which is of faith, and there is a righteousness which is of the law. Now, we cannot attain into the righteousness which is of faith by only keeping the law. But you got to keep the law, that is the moral law, if you expect to have the righteousness which is of faith. You can't live in sin and live by faith at the same time. Period. You can't do it. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, when you read that on the surface, to me, that means that you can have the righteousness of God without being obedient to the moral law. And that, to me, flies in the face of the thought of the just shall live by faith. You have to be just. So I did some checking on the word without. What does that word without mean? Well, I found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, an interesting use of that word. And it's the word beside. And in 2 Corinthians 11:28, it says, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. The word beside also can be translated, or carries the thought, in addition to. Paul is saying, in addition to these things that are without, in other words, making a living and making sure that everybody's got something to eat, and because, you know, Paul took care of everybody that was with him, apparently. You know, things that are without, stoning, you know, people get stoned. I mean, he got stoned a time or two. You know, he's in the perils of the deep. You know, these are things, in addition to the troubles that I'm experiencing, I have the care of the churches. So the word without carries the idea in addition to. Now the righteousness of God in addition to the law is manifest, witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, you've got to live by faith. I mean, God wants us to live by faith, but you've got to be just to do it. And so The righteousness of God comes when we live a clean life, an obedient life, and we live by faith, trusting the Lord and anticipating the hope of glory. Galatians 3:11 talks about living by faith. But no man is justified by the law alone. Okay, this is what we're talking about. And the justification here is the justification that is associated with faith and not the justification which is of the law. That no man is justified by the law alone in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just, that is, those who obey the moral law, shall live by faith. The two go together. Now, the righteousness which is of faith will provide us a heavenly inheritance. Now that's why I included Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. Being heir of the world means to rule over the world. To rule and reign over the world. That's what God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. Your seed will be a heavenly seed. And that heavenly seed will inherit and they will rule and reign over the earth. Now, a name that I didn't include in our list of those being just is that of Lot. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that," it says righteous, but it should be translated just, it's the same word in verse 7, Greek word, "for that just man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot was a just man. In other words, he was obedient. His life was not very exemplary, but he was a moral man. Even though he chose a lifestyle that wasn't too good. He lived down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham chose to live away from those people. And thank goodness that the immoral lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah did not affect Lot. It did affect his wife and his kids. It did affect them, but it didn't affect Lot. Lot was just. Okay? Now another one that I didn't include in the list is John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 6 verse 20 it says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and he was holy." John the Baptist was a holy man. He was a just man. He was obedient in his day, not only to the moral law, but to the ordinances as well, the ceremonial law. And we read something interesting about John in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 11, where it says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Now that's a pretty good testimony. John the Baptist, born of a woman, there's none greater than he. "Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Now here is John the Baptist. He's just. John did not have a chance to live by faith, in a sense, that we think of today. He was just. And so when I think about John being just, and as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned, the last man in the kingdom is greater than John. The fellow who is ruling and reigning in the heavens, who has responded unto his kingdom in glory, the calling unto his kingdom in glory, he is he's a private. He is low recruit, but he's ruling and reigning. He is above John the Baptist, who was holy and he was just. So the point I'm trying to make here is this. John is a picture of those who will be great here on the earth, but will not have a place in the kingdom of the heavens, ruling and reigning with Christ. He will be ruling like Lot and his and those that are like Lot. Now let's continue here. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 9, we see about Lot's inheritance. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for possession. Now Lot's inheritance is east of the Jordan River. The preferred inheritance is west of the Jordan River. And when you look at Old Testament types, to be in the land of milk and honey is to have a heavenly inheritance. To be east of the Jordan River is to have an inheritance that is earthly. It's an earthly inheritance. And we find Reuben out there. Reuben should have been in the land flowing with milk and honey. Why do we find Reuben outside the land? Why, he defiled his father's bed. He took his father's wife, his stepmother, if you please. And so because of his sin, we find Reuben on the outside. Okay? Now, Lot had an inheritance east of the Jordan River in the land of Moab. Look in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 2. It says, when thou camest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon for possession, because I have given it unto Lot, or the children of Lot, for possession. Well, what I see here is Lot had two sons, and they both had an inheritance in the land west of the Jordan, east of the Jordan River. So Lot's family had a double portion inheritance. And those who got a double portion inheritance were like the firstborn. The firstborn ruled and reigned in the family. When I look at Lot being just and having a double portion in the land west or east of the Jordan River, I see a man who rules and reigns here upon the earth during the millennium. He's just. He's got honor and glory here on the earth. And he has a counterpart in the heavenlies, and they're working together to rule over the earth. That's what's going on today. Satan has angels over all the kingdoms of this earth. Bush has got a demon working above him and influencing him, just like all the heads of state have demons working. Those are angels. And one day, all of those angels will be cast out of the heavens and down here on the earth. And then those of us who qualify to rule and reign will take their positions. We'll be princes over Persia and other cities and other countries of the world. Lot had a double portion. I see Lot being just as having a double portion inheritance here on the earth. He will rule and reign on the earth and not in the heavens. So is it important to be just? Yes. Did Lot have ears to hear? I don't think Lot had ears to hear. Those who don't have ears to hear can qualify to have positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom here on the earth. When I see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, it says, then the just shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The just will shine in the kingdom. And I do believe the just will rule and reign from an earthly perspective. So somebody asked me, he says, well, what do the just, or what do those that don't have ears to hear, what will they get? Well, if they're obedient and they're just, They'll have a double portion inheritance, and they'll rule and reign here on the earth. And that's not a bad deal. It pays to be good. It pays to behave. Because God is honored in your obedience. And if you don't have ears to hear, He's not going to say, "Well, why didn't you screw on some ears so you could hear what I had to say?" He doesn't give you the ears. You don't have to struggle over that. You just do the best you can. It says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There are those who have an inheritance under God, and then there's those that will have an inheritance because they suffer for Christ's sake in the coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You would help us to appreciate what it means to be just. You know, Lord, that being just means to behave and to be obedient. And we know, Lord, that if we are just and obedient, we can please You by living by faith. But if we haven't been given ears to hear and eyes to see, we can still be just. And being just, we can one day have a place in Your coming kingdom here upon the earth to rule and reign over those on the earth that you would give us, or give those who are just. We just pray, Lord, that You'd bless these thoughts to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.